friend. It seems so far away from you all.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, church. I'm actually very excited to share today's message because, we're talking about, knowing the heart of the Father. And as you all know, every time I talk, the word sons of the house never escapes, right? And or sons of God, or sons in general, will always be something that God is speaking to my heart. And something before I go into the message, I have a very embarrassing story to tell you today. All right. If you have seen me this morning closely, I actually cut myself shaving, right here. Okay. And when I did that, and then God just spoke to me, it's like, for guys, right, who shave quite long, you can shave basically with your eyes closed. Is that just me? Oh, you don't need a mirror. Like, you can sort of roughly, with the modern shaver, you can do that, right? And then God just told me, it's like, something simple like that. I do it, not I'll say daily, but, every 2 days or so. Sometimes you still, if you don't careful, you make mistake, right? You cut yourself. And so God then spoke to me about, then think about this principle about receiving the word of God as well. Sometimes the word of God that we get, it sounds the same all the time. Like Ludwig declared resurrection life, for example. The word that God gave to evangel through our pastors. No, don't take that lightly. Anything that we hear, Revelations 4:5, oh, I know that's about the throne of God, the angels, the elders, all that. I know already. I know the story. Yeah. But then, if we pay attention, sometimes God speaks differently. Right? Just that simple three words. Everyone, do you remember? What's the first one? Open, right? Open. Second one is? Read. And then third one is? Look. But then, if you reverse the other way, if you don't look, you don't read. And if you don't read, it's not open to you, yeah? So, it's just, then for me as well, I think by talking a lot about sons of God, sons of building the house and all this, I can take it lightly. And maybe today's a bit, cut. It's like a reminder. Don't take the word of God lightly, right? Don't take whatever we do, what I'm going to declare, before I start. Don't take that lightly as well. When we praise the name of Jesus, when we praise God for just who He is, things were going to happen, right? All right, so I better not talk too much. Let's just go into it. All right, so let's declare, oh, hallelujah. And remember, what does that mean? Praise the Lord. Let's just praise God for who He is. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Wonderful, wonderful King. Amen. Wonderful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up each and every one of us here today. Lord, we believe that today as we hear Your word, things are beginning to transform in our lives. The Spirit of God is beginning to talk to us, and as we begin to obey, breakthrough will come into our lives right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so we've been declaring about year of breakthrough as well for ourselves. 2017 is a year of breakthrough. We've all been crying out for breakthrough. But something that as we learn from the past few weeks, something just begins to speak to me about this thing, breakthrough, right? We like breakthrough. Who doesn't want breakthrough? Nobody, okay? Nobody. Good. Okay. Everyone loves breakthrough. But there's this statement that just come to mind. There is breakthrough only in obedience. Breakthrough in obedience. This phrase has just been speaking to me. And when we think about great men of God in the Bible, say Abraham, right? Abraham did not receive the breakthrough by remaining where he is. Correct? Yeah, God called him out. He had to go from A to B, right? But as you know, if just long story short, he went from A, he walked towards B, and then what? He actually stopped halfway. He didn't go all the way, right? And that's not where he received. He only received the breakthrough when he go all the way, all right? He received the promise first, yes, But the breakthrough only came when he actually obeyed fully. So again, all these words that's just coming as we were worshiping, as we were praying, you know, this phrase, breakthrough in obedience, all right? And it has to do with the message today as well about, you know, we talk about breakthrough, but there are certain principles in our lives that we need to have in order to break for the breakthrough to even allow the breakthrough to come. Let's put it that way. There are certain things in our life that either we are doing or not doing that may be preventing breakthroughs. And the message that I'm sharing today actually came from Pastor Robert Henderson, right? The guy who we hear about in prayer meeting about, you know, entering into the courtroom of God, looking to God as our judge, and breaking the iniquities of our forefathers, basically, right? And so it's very exciting for me because, you know, I talk about, you know, sons of the house, building the house of God and all that, but he just expanded it to the next level for me personally. And I'm very excited to share this morning what we picked up from him. And also because of life group, when we are all now in measurement of the church, right? And when that finishes, well, let's stick on that first. So when it ties in together everything, like power of one, right? That's the end of the series. And then we're going to go into Pastor Robert Henderson's teachings. So it's like a bit of promotion, I guess. You know, get excited, you know, for this new thing that we're going to learn. And hopefully from today's message, you see what God has been doing in his life and all the things that God spoke to him, you know, it's just being released to us today. And it's just like great timing, you know, really, really great. And I just want to say that when we talk about, you know, true sons of the house, what is it? What does that mean? You know, and we want to talk about the house, right? The house. What is all that got to do with my message today, okay? And I'm going to give 5 examples of people who showed how they built the house, okay? Not necessarily the building or like coming together or things like that. There are different aspects of that. And then I'm going to share the 5 blessings that come out of this building the house, okay? When all of us are contributing into building the house. So say this with me. I'm not just part of the house. I'm also building the house. Okay, I say again, I'm not only part of the house, I'm also building the house. All right, so all of us has a part to play, okay? We're not just here, as they say, to warm up the seats, all right? We're not just here to say hi, hello, and then go home. That's it, all right? There is something about building the house of God, all right? Okay, so that's next, joke. So we're talking about, so I've been using David as an example, right? David, as the Bible proclaim, is a man after God's own heart, right? And one of the ways that David demonstrated how he loved God so much, or how he seek after God's own heart, is that he desired to build God's house, all right? So if we go to the next one, 1 Corinthians 29, 1-3, all right? So here we see King David proclaim to the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, I prepared with all my might." And then all the gold and silver and bronze and all that. So we skip that up to you. "So moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." So here, we see the heart of David of building a house for God, right? Build a temple for God. And we see in Psalms, the reference to the house of God, or David loving the house of God, is many. So I'll give you a few, like Psalms 26 verse 8, if you want to take that and then read at home. Psalms 27 verse 4, Psalms 69 verse 9, and Psalms 84, verse 4 and 10. All right, I'll say again. So Psalms 26, verse 8. Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 69, verse 9. And then Psalms 84, verse 4 and 10. All right, just basically talking about loving the house of God, loving the habitation of God. So like 26 verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So here we see David, although God didn't allow him to build the temple because he said that he shed many blood because David went to war and all that, right? But David did all he can to contribute to the building of God's house by preparing it for Solomon, right? So this is that great love that David had for the house of God, okay? So just keep that as we go on to the next one. So when we talk about house of God, what does that mean? All right. So, okay, another common statements that maybe not so common nowadays, we haven't been using this so much, but everyone say with me, church unusual. If you look at the newsletter, there should be there, right? Evangel Christian Fellowship, Church Unusual. Did you realize that? Yeah, okay. So I hope you all haven't forget. Now, we talk about Church Unusual. One of the aspects about Church Unusual is to be a habitation for God to move, to manifest, or transact. So transact, when you talk about transact, there's two ways, right? Transact freely and fully. So it's a place that we prepare for God to come here to dwell among us so that he can move, manifest, transact freely and fully. All right? So this is what we talk about now, the house of God. So yes, David built temple for God's dwelling. You know, in the end, this definition fits. But for us nowadays, we take it in context that it's when we gather together. Wherever we are to build an atmosphere. Sometimes we use this word atmosphere or a place for God to move freely and manifest. And that's why, you know, when the presence of God is moving or is like, you know, even while worship team is singing, you know, try to minimize distractions. All right? It's not about, oh yeah, you for a worship, yeah, you distract me. It's not about that. It's just honoring the presence of God. Right? Honoring the move of God. Okay? So we got to start taking things, not only spiritually, oh yes, this is reserved for God now, but we also got to take it practically as well. What is it that we do to honor this habitation of God here right now, right? And we talk about God's dwelling on earth. You know, where in Hebrews 3 verse 6, you know, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. So here the Bible says we, corporately, we are his house. Secondly is God's dwelling in us. We are also God's dwelling place, right? So remember when I talk in previous sermons, whenever God speaks, there's always two things, right? One is individual responsibility and the other is corporate fulfillment. So anything that we talk about, there is two, all right? There's that personal one that we must know that we are God's dwelling place. Amen? 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 All right, so we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, and when we come together, next one. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Yep, you can see that. Maybe let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tested the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here, it's showing that all of us, we talk about God, Jesus is building his church, amen? Right? What is he using to build his church? Say, me. All right? God is using me to build his church. All of us, we know this. All of us has a destiny. All of us has a purpose that God has given. Right? But all of us has to be built together, one on top of each other. If you imagine, that's supposed to be a brick wall. Not very clear, right? Just think about, okay, that brick wall over there. each of us represent one brick. If one of us did not come to that purpose or to that full potential that God has of us, there is a gap in the wall. Think about it like that. Yeah? Oh, thanks, Joe. All right? There's a gap in the wall. And this gap is only for, you know, it's you. We got to think about when we come together, we have to firstly have that individual responsibility to come up to that potential that God has for us first. But then, when we already come to that stage, then we don't say, yeah, I'm one brick, I'm so good, I'm so excellent, blah, blah, blah. We got to all come together. Right? Yeah? So, I think some of us have not watched The Power of One, so I don't spoil it for you, all right? So, but, you know, and Ludwig's been sharing a lot about Power of One, coming together. When all of us come together, there is that powerful corporate manifestation of people coming together. Amen? Of God's people coming together. All right. Okay, so that's introduction of, hopefully you understand what this house means. Okay, when we talk about building the house of God. You know, when building as well, like, it's not just making sure the atmosphere is good and all that, but during that process, right? Like, for example, this morning when we are praying, already the building has started. Yeah? Before we even come to church, that's what Pastor Machin is trying to, like, I get it now, like, what Pastor has been trying to tell us. The building doesn't even happen when we step in here. The building happens at home. When we build ourselves in the Spirit, then when we come, when we open our mouth to pray in the Spirit, then it's like that living water pouring into this place. That's what I see this morning. As we all pray and pray in the Spirit, it's like we're pouring the water in this place, and then this getting this place filled with the presence of God. That's an example of building the house of God. Yeah? We have to think not just natural, also spiritual, but also there's also practical side, okay? Which I'm going to go through today. All right. Next one, about building his house. So this is the five examples, five different people who showed. We read about David, okay? How he releases finances and resources, right? And the blessing here in 1 Kings 17, 23 to 26. Maybe you can... Oh, no. Never mind. Okay, don't worry. Okay, I'll read it, okay? 1 Kings 17, 23. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, let it be established forever, and do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God and have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. So here we see simple examples of sowing and reaping. David sowed into the kingdom of God, right, by his finances and resources, and God promised him that he will bless his house. He will make sure his house is established. All right? This is the promise that we get. And also it tells us that when we do this about sowing into the kingdom of God, the blessings may not come immediately. Like, we don't see the effects immediately. Or we don't see the effects come just once. It may come generationally, meaning things may happen later down the track. You know, because God is not limited, right? Or you do one, I do one. Not like that. But God sees the heart, and he sees the heart of David, and he gave him a great promise that he will establish his house forever. And we know that out of the house or lineage of David came our Savior, right? Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so it's simple. So here, you know, as I'm growing in evangel, you know, one thing that I'm very thankful for is, one thing that if I would say I learned first or second is giving. you know, the tithes and offering and mission giving and all that, that was almost established right in the beginning. So I'm so glad about that, because I've seen people who struggle with that. And I see, oh, because I'm not boasting. I'm saying that because early on that principle has been put into my life straight away, that when it comes to what we call earning the big bucks, right, then it's no more a struggle to, ayo, wow. When you get $10, 10% is $1. Yeah, right? Right? Okay? Right? But when you start to get, you know, say $100,000, 10% is, right? Am I the only one that's, okay? Right? Just by simple maths. But, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, for pastors, for leaders, to just straight away, you know, from young, you know, even whatever you receive, straight away, put 10%. You know, these are like, in a way, formulas you try to build into kids, but you never know the effect afterwards, yeah? And you and I see it in my life that, you know, it's so great that this principle is already instilled, that it's no more a struggle. Yeah? Amen? Okay, so I hope that encourages you all also to sort of like not take it lightly. I have tithes offering, okay, I've heard that again, and you know. But you know, take that seriously about this context about building his house, okay? All right, next one. All right, building his house can also come in this form. All right, we know the story of the Shunammite woman, all right? Because of what she did, all right? This is basically the key here. Let us make a small upper room for who? It was for Elijah. Who is Elijah? Elijah was the man of God, right? She opened her house for God's purpose and for men that represent God, okay? So here, then, when we see the blessing, what did she get? She got two things. Number one, she received, the prophetic words was able to release to her, which was that she would receive a son. Right? Is it coming up? No? Never mind. All right? And then after that, the son was sick and died. But we know that the son got healed after that. So she received, in a way, two miracles because of what she did here. All right? So then, coming back to us here, when we talk about building the house of God, what does it mean? You know, it doesn't just mean just giving resources, but it's also, you know, blessed, having that desire to bless the man of God to open your house, maybe. You know, like we have life groups, we have now prayer cells. No, don't take it lightly that these houses are open for God's people to gather together to come and pray or read the word. You know, these are all ways that we are building the house. Because why? In that time, in that place, we are allowing God to habitate in that place, right? So we don't just restrict ourselves. Oh, building God's house. Okay, if I contribute money, then that contributes to the building. Okay, I've done my part. There's a lot more about building the house of God. Amen. All right. So I don't want to focus on this because I'm gonna focus on the fifth person. All right. This is the third person. Or groups of person, the midwives in Egypt. Long story short, we know that because the people in Egypt were killing all the babies, right? Okay? But what did the midwives in Egypt do? They protected the children that were going to be born to the people of Israel. Okay? So they feared God, it says in Exodus, and they protected God's people. And in the end, what did God do for them? He says here, to quote it, is God gave them households, which means God blessed their families, or God blessed them with fruitfulness. Okay, and they have families as well. All right, again, here, it just ties back to that caring and protecting for this, the people around you. You know, our covenantal brothers and sisters here, right? Yeah? So look to your left. Give a smile. Look to your right. All right? Okay, these are your, right? These are your covenantal family. Give a nice smile a bit, okay? It's like, Okay. All right? So when we talk about, you know, desiring to bless God's people, This is a way of building God's house. Okay, next. All right, we got to go. All right. Israelites, here, as it there is a bit of a warning here, okay? In Haggai chapter 1, you know, Haggai brought this warning to the people of Israel, okay? As you all know, we read Daniel, right? Right, the book of Daniel. Everyone still remember what we've gone through in Daniel? All right? Hopefully. And I think we will restart Daniel soon, okay? King Cyrus gave the decree to rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple. But when the people of Israel went there, whatever money, all their resources they have, first thing they built was not God's house. They built their house. Okay, that was the warning. Because of that, because of them building their house first, you know, it says that, you know, they are just making it through. They're not being blessed, you know, abundantly as they should be. All right? They're struggling as they were building their own house. Yeah? But then, after that warning came, right, Zerubbabel then took that and went, look, we stuffed up. We got to better build God's house. All right? Then, in chapter 2, it's like, wow, it's the turnaround, the year of breakthrough. All right? In obedience, they got their breakthrough here in Haggai chapter 2 that... let me read here. Can we go to Haggai chapter 2, verse 18? All right. Basically, it says there that the moment that the foundation of the house of God was laid, the seed has already been planted, which means that blessing starts as soon as they obey. Yeah? So here in Haggai chapter, it said, consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it, is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. Okay? So, here we see God blessing the house of Israel when they started building God's house. Okay? All right. The last one, which is what I'm going to focus on. All right? We know... the centurion. And let's read together. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. All right. Maybe I'll read one verse and you read one verse, okay? Luke chapter 7. Now when he concluded all his saying in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Your turn. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. For he loves our nation, and has built us a synagogue. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Okay, so we're just going to hold there. So I just finished my introduction. Now I'm going to the main message, all right? So another 5 points from this, okay? We see here the centurion, he was not a Jew, okay? Means he was a Gentile, all right? But as a Gentile or as a non-Jew, this is how the Jews describe him. That he is a person who loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. So we see here, this centurion was contributing into the building the house of God, okay? So the result there was, in the end, we see is Jesus was moved by this, and when Jesus heard that this is what he did for the people of for the Jewish people, then Jesus was moved and released blessing to him, a Gentile, even though it was not time for the Gentiles yet. All right, so I'm just gonna expand on this. All right, these blessings that the centurion received. All right, so we see here he has invested in God's house before he got this blessing, right? And this is when he was already doing it without expecting something in return. Do you get what I mean? He was proactive about contributing to the house of God. He was already proactive about building the house of God, all right? So for all of us here, we have some words, maybe from our pastors, from leaders, maybe from our personal devotions. There are some things that God has been speaking to us. All right? And during that time, hopefully what we have developed is this history of obedience. As God spoke to us a few things, then we start to obey and walk in it. Walk in it. Right? Because then as we do that, not only are we sowing into our future, but we allow God's blessings to come to us. Yeah? Because if we disobey simply, right, that we know that in the Bible that God says, you know, God give grace to the humble, right? But he resists the proud, right? So there's a principle there. Like if we are proud people, then it's like, even if God wants to bless you, cannot. Because you are preventing it from happening because of your disobedience. And we see in Hebrews 6 verse 10 here, it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So again here, our God is a gracious God, right? But also then, it's not about having an edge over God. It's like, hey God, I do this, I already give so much, why nothing? Like, it's not about that, okay? I just want to establish we cannot go into the extremes as well, all right? Okay, it's just here, all of us are in different stages of our life in terms of walking with God. Whatever that God is speaking to us right now, we got to change slowly, 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 right? And as we change, then we think, oh, that's it. But then got greater things, got greater things. Amen? All right? So here we see that because of the history of obedience that the history of the centurion investing into the house of God, it gave him, in a way, what you call drawing rights, okay? When he actually needed it, yeah? All right. Are you being blessed today? Yeah? Yeah. Amen? All right, okay. Second one, okay? Here we see, we're focusing into that thing where, you know, when Jesus was walking in Jerusalem and all that, you know, Jesus said that he came for the Jews first, all right? So at that time, what he was proclaiming, the kingdom of God, the blessings of God, were for the Jews first, okay? But, and we see here in Matthew 15, 21, 28, here we see a Canaanite woman who was begging Jesus to heal, I think it's not heal her, it's heal the daughter, yeah, right? And he begged, and Jesus said what? No, it's not for you. Or it's not for, quote unquote, not for Gentiles yet, yeah? But because of her great faith, like what we read here in Luke, that Jesus healed her daughter, yeah? And here we see what happened is that, yes, the blessing will come unto the Gentiles soon or in the future, but what happened to the centurion, he was able to reach into that and bring it earlier, this rite of blessings for him as a Gentile person. Yeah, he was able to pull it, he was able to, quote-unquote, accelerate his blessing towards him. Yeah, that's amazing. Amen? All right, the third one. Okay, because of him helping the people of Israel build the temple, he experienced unlimited favor. Because, remember, the Jews and Gentiles are not friends, right? Yeah. Okay? But it says here, who actually went and begged Jesus? Not the centurion. The elders of the Jews went on his behalf to go and ask Jesus, can you please come and heal someone in the centurion's house? Right? So we see here that through this, he got connected to the right people. Okay, this is the favor that was manifested. And we see how God blessed him through this way. All right? So we know that Jesus, when in Luke, it says what? Jesus grew up in stature, in favor with God and man. So Jesus grew in favor. So all of us also need favor. So we better have this in mind about building God's house. Amen? Right? So, and also this is something that Pastor Robert said, you know, that anointing alone is not enough. We need the favor of God so that that anointing can go out and bless people. Yeah? When we talk about what we are doing, for example, like the SJ Shire and all that, you know, for Adrian to go out and connect to different people, I'm sure he's got many, he's already shared testimonies, right, about how God's favor was just upon many, many different situations, and that connect to the right people, that connect to this person, that person, and then everything just moves smoothly together, right? So we see here, in a way, then what God is working in our life alone, right, is important, but it's not enough. There's got to be favor that so that we can then bring whatever God has built in us out. Amen? Yeah? All right. So that's what the centurion had. He had unlimited favor, all right, by doing that. Now, next one. All right, the fourth one. He had revelation of mysteries and divine law. So here, he got the revelation of understanding the principle of chain of authority. Right? Because he said that, no, you don't have to come under my house. You just give the word and my servant will be healed. Right? And then he even gave his own experience. He said, oh, you know, I'm a soldier. I know how that works. You know, when I tell my soldiers to jump, they jump. Or they say, how high or something. All right? Okay? Right? And he understood this. And he understood this way before anyone else. Or, you know, God just gave that to him. Right, because of his building into God's house. And then the last one, we see the ultimate was that his house experienced healing. And not just to him himself or to his children, but it's anyone who is connected in his house. Because in this case, it was just his servant. But it just happened that his servant was his servant, which is working under his house. So we see here, because of this blessing that God has given, it's not just limited to that one person. It can have many, many effects, right? Just like David, you know, it's not just to him, but to his generation after generation after generation, all right? So we see here very, very great things happen when we build God's house, right? So again, then this ties back to what I've been walking or how God has been speaking to me about this. It's like, it's just very exciting to know that our church has been teaching us about sowing, you know, and tithing and things like that, that all of us will come to this place of breakthrough because of these principles that's working here. Amen? But are we also having other areas in our life? Or let me speak for me. Am I also having some areas of my life that I'm not obeying fully that is preventing me from getting breakthroughs? Yeah. So say with me, breakthrough in obedience. All right. So this is the kind of thing we want to focus on. You know, we don't want to go into extreme and say, if I do this, then God will do this. If I do this, it's not about that. It's about what is God building in our lives right now. Yeah. And it's about what is God building us together here corporately right now. Amen. All right. So if we conclude this, all right, we see here that God looks highly of people who build his house, basically preparing a place for God's people to worship him, preparing a place for God to just be able to walk through freely, to do whatever he wants, not what we want, right, to have a place to dwell among his people. Amen? And here, as I said, we declare this, right? We are not just part of the house, but we are also building the house. And one of the things that I repeat again and again, that whenever we go to Moa, this word co-labor, it's always instilled in us. Because whatever God is building into our lives, right? Even I can't remember the scripture now. The one where to everyone that God gave apostles, teachers, evangelists, Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Thank you. Yep. All right. And here it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here, let's read it this way. Maybe some of us, God has given us grace to be teachers, to be prophets, to be pastors, you know, to be, when I say pastor, as in, you know, caring for people, evangelists, you know, whatever that God is imbuing in our lives, you know, grace and gifts. But all of it is for what? All right, that is in verse 12, equipping of the saints, all right, to edify the body of Christ. So, I take it as, if we go to the next slide, Job, I take it as this. Whatever that God is working in our lives personally, yes, it's for our own growth, right? Personally, it's for our own growth. But when we have reached to a certain level, then that thing that God has built into us is to be released to others. Yeah? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah? Which means, then, there is nothing to boast about whenever we reach a certain level. Because all of us are being built together right now, right? We just declare that right now in Jesus' name, that each and every one of us will grow to the next level, will have our personal breakthroughs, God. Lord, that whatever that you are speaking to us right now, it will be so clear that we cannot deny it is from God, and that, Lord, we will obey that word, and we will experience that personal breakthroughs, that we can all come together to build your house, Lord. God, Jesus, we thank you that you are building your church, that you are that foundation stone, and on you that we build our lives upon, Lord. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I declare for Evangel Perth, Evangel Kepong, Evangel Ipoh, that together with our pastors, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Machin, Lord, together we are building together. We are going towards that power of one, that true unity right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we receive the word, as we receive your word, that all of us will hold on to your word. Hold on and take it seriously, Lord. And we'll always pursue the things of God, and to always look to build your house, to have a place for you to dwell among us, Lord. That our desire is just to have you walk among us right now. We thank you, Lord. We just declare upon each and every one of us here, whatever limitations that is preventing us from growing, it's broken right now in Jesus' name. Every walls of limitation be gone in Jesus' name. Every spirit of rejection that says, no, it's not me, it's not for me, I can't be like that, it's gone right now in Jesus' name. We curse you out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just declare growth right now in Jesus' name. We declare passion. We declare desire. Hunger enters for the things of God right now. Let there be a desire for the things of God, but that desire for the world will be dim and be reduced and be gone to nothing. Right now, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, just to conclude then about, you know, being true sons of the house then, we don't wait till we reach this potential, oh, I'm true son of the house, then I start, oh, what can I do? It's right now. Right now, where can you help in terms of building the house of God? Where can you sow the seeds right now? Yeah, and then slowly, you know, because being a son, right, this is something that just come. You don't have to be, quote unquote, perfect to be a son. Do you know what I mean? When a son is born in the house, is he already perfect? He can wash the car, can clean the dishes and all that? No, right? No. Okay? The son of the house has the relationship thing, right? But the son of the house got to grow. And when the son of the house begin to grow and grow, he can begin to do more and more things, right? And then that's when you can see son of the house washing cars, for example, or doing the dishes, or, okay, these things, it all relates, amen, right? This is in the context of, no, I cannot, now I wait. You don't, I don't know, my mom taught me this, to scrub the floor by doing it, right? Straight away do it. It's got no, you better read about scrubbing floor until you reach this level, and then, okay, now you are qualified to scrub the floor. No, it's like, as soon as you can do it, you do it, okay? But all of us got to grow. All of us got to keep growing, okay? I just want to break this spirit of, and it's not me. I only be a Christian 1 year, 2 years, you know? We don't want that, because sons, no matter how old, how young you are sons. Okay? You can be a part of this house, not only be part, but also build the house. Yeah? But then, again, there must always be a balance. There are some things, there are some boundaries, right? We don't give scissors to 1 year old, 2 year old. We don't give knives to 5 years old, right? Yeah, there are boundaries as well. But it doesn't mean that you are not a son. Okay? All right, we just want to break that. I think maybe someone has to hear it. This is not planned. All right? Okay? So, put God and his house first, right? Sow these seeds now. Then God loves those who build his house. Job. All right? Okay? And not only talking about building for the house for our Father in heaven, but also right now when we honor the father of the house, our pastors, right? In the Bible, it says when we honor a prophet, we receive the prophet's reward. All right, these things, what does that mean is that whatever God is working in our pastor's life, whatever prophetic words, all that is released into their lives, it is, as long as we are connected to him properly, right, we are receiving it as well. So whatever they are declaring, it's not just for themselves. It's not just for their own breakthroughs, right? It's for all of us. So when we are connected properly, we see that happening in our lives as well. Yeah, amen? So, you know, simple things, I think I've said this. Paying attention is the most simple thing you can honor, how you honor a prophet or a preacher or whatever it is, right? To receive that reward. Okay, because if you don't hear the word, then how are you going to have your breakthrough? Amen? Second thing is when God, and I put there, be ready for the miracle, means be ready for your breakthrough. How do you be ready? Number one is you expect it, right? Yeah. Number two is when it does come to you, what are you doing with it? Okay? Because as I said, it's not just for all of us. But when it comes into our life, then we got to share it out, right? That's why testimony is very important. You never know how testimony can bless a person, how testimony can release someone from what they are going through. Amen? So, you know, whenever we talk about sowing, so here, this is another thing that I'm quoting from Pastor Robert Henderson. You know, if we keep sowing $20, then we're expecting only $20 of breakthrough. Worth of breakthrough, yeah? Or $20 worth of results. Maybe there are some greater breakthroughs that you are expecting, but you've been the same, okay? You've not grown, you've just been... Maybe there's a step that you need to take. There's something that God has been pricking you to take that extra step. You know, yesterday we went to a conference or meeting, which is organized by AGLO, which is gathering the Aboriginal leaders and those who are involved in Aboriginal work together, all right? And this Pastor Nicole O'Dea, she was like the main speaker after that, and she said this, how God worked in her life is God never allowed her to be comfortable. As soon as she becomes comfortable, and when I say comfortable, it's not about her having her own business and comfortable being quote-unquote rich. It's she already serving God. They have this ministry called Daughters of Destiny, helping girls, I think, abuse and all that. She was the, I guess you call it, the head or the coordinator of that ministry. Yet, God say, okay, that one, it's like, to her, she said, oh, I'm happy. I've already reached what God is telling me to do. But God said, no, now time to go to Quinana and start a church there, plant a church there. It's like a shock, right? And then she said, even after that, there's another shock for her, another shock. So it's like giving that, speaking to us about, you know, being comfortable. We can think as though we're doing God work and we are comfy in it. That is where God wants us to be. But it may be that God is speaking some of us right now. We have to go a bit further. Or we have to now shift. She was talking about shift, you know, shifting into the fifth gear, things like that. There must be a shift in our hearts that we got to start taking steps. Amen? All right, so it's like, wow, you know, the main speaker say things like that. How about me? I just felt like that yesterday. But also, it's the encouragement. It's like, no matter where we are, God is never finished with us. There is all these new things. Amen? Yeah. All right, so be ready for what God is going to do in your life. All right, you don't know yet your full potential. Amen? Yeah. You never know. All right, so, but whenever that happens, when you have that, when I talk about be ready, then don't watch out for pride. Watch out for pride. You know, don't abuse that gift or that grace that God finally has poured into your life. Amen? In the end, whatever that God has built into us, into me, into you, it's all for the house. It's all for, amen? Yeah. All right. Pray again. Okay. All right. Let's commit this time to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, truly, we want to be that true sons of God, that true sons of the house. Lord, we don't want to just declare words. Lord, we want to be people that take action as you speak to us, Lord. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we receive from you. We receive from you. We open our hearts to you. We lift up ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, you have chosen us. We are your choice instrument, Lord. And continue to polish us, continue to work in us, continue to change us from glory to glory so that we can bring glory to your name. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I just declare an expansion into our spirit right now to be able to do, to receive more, to be able to do more, to be able to go to that next level, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we will never be the same. We will never, never be the same. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We just declare it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.